Good morning, everybody. Welcome again to Lighthouse Bible Church. Let's begin today, as we normally do, by entering into prayer together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for giving us Jesus Christ when we are enemies. We thank you, Father, that he, the Son of God, became man, went to the cross to die for our sins and the sins of the whole world, and then you raised him up after 3 days. So whoever believes in your Son will never perish, but has eternal life. Father, this morning we also pray for the persecuted church around the world. We also want to, Father, thank you for all of your blessings and grace. Thank you for your word that's living and active. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who indwells our hearts and allows us to understand things that were not revealed until after your Son sat at your right hand. Father, we also pray this morning a prayer of thanks regarding the equipment and especially the people that made it happen, and we'll be announcing that when we get to that section. And we just ask, Father, that the Spirit would guide everything we're going to do today. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please stand and worship with us.
The bat phone. Got it. I will explain what I'm doing in just a moment. No, really. All right, good morning again, everybody. Well, somebody in this congregation today made a colossal error. Yours truly. Here, let me explain. If you've been noticing that I've been sitting down and we're kind of scurrying around, it's because I uploaded the wrong files this morning. So I had to send my son back home and get him to get the right ones over to these guys. So let's give all those people a round of applause. Not only that, but as you can see, we have our projection back this morning, as well as our televisions, which means we're getting there. There's a couple of more things we still have to get. But I want to thank some other people by name. That's Mark Pomeroy and his son, Aaron. We also have air conditioning this morning. I don't know if you noticed, it was a little sticky last week. And I want to thank Steve Pomeroy for that, as well as for making sure our insurance is in play to help us cover these costs. So, Steve, thank you. And Jack, who may not know it yet, I think he already does. If we need any wiring done, that's going to be the guy for that. So, tip of the hat to you, Jack, as well this morning. All right, a couple of announcements this morning as we get started. First of all, once again, I want to remind everybody to please pray for the persecuted church in Mauritania. I've been talking about this, these Christians in that country for the last couple of weeks. They have no freedom of religion in that country. Islam has dominated for more than 1,000 years. Islam is the constitutionally declared religion of the people. And the government prohibits distributing any religious materials that aren't Muslim or Islamic, and they also prohibit the evangelism of Muslims. There's only less than 1,000 Christians in this country. They are not allowed to enter, have visitors that are Muslims. Muslims are prohibited from visiting non-Muslim households. Anyone who confesses Christ faces the death penalty. So you can imagine what it's like to be a Christian in that country of Mauritania. So please keep them in prayer. And this month also we have a missionary organization that we are featuring. And that missionary organization is Village Ministries International. I've been mentioning them as well. Their website is www.villageministries.org. And let me just tell you a few things about them. They're non-denominational. They bring the gospel and the word of God to remote areas that are not easily reached, usually with missionary activity. They preach the gospel, and then they train up pastors in order to allow the Word of God to continue to be preached in those locations that they go to. And they are around the world in different places. Some of the places that a lot of the other missionaries go to as well, India, and other places like that. We ask you for prayers for their missionary organization. We also ask you to please consider assisting them in whatever their endeavors are, whether it be through prayer. Let me see if this is working now. Oh. Well, it's up here. I'm going to get to what I need because I am much better off when I have my notes. So they've also worked in the Philippines, Nigeria, Central America, Indonesia, and back among Mongolia. And again, their website, www.villageministries.org. All right. So one other announcement this morning. Keith Ian Starling, you know, remember him. Yeah, I've already made this announcement twice in different times of this year. But I think the third time is a charm. I got to be careful. He's already bought the tickets. He's planning to be here June 24th. That's 2 weeks from now. So Keith Ian Starling, for those of you that may not know who he is, has a great prison ministry in the southeastern United States, based in Nashville. But he goes to other locations as well. And, you know, his ministry has saved, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of people. Because that, you can imagine that people in prison realize that there's something majorly wrong in their life and with how they've lived it. And they're usually at their lowest point when they're in prison. And that's a really wide open door for the gospel to come on in their hearts. And so please also pray for that ministry. And please pray that we get through this service today. All right. I'd like you to turn now to the book of Colossians. And the title of the message today is, where is it? Well, you don't see it anyway, but I'm going to get to it. What's it up? What did you say? Oh, never mind. The title of today's message is, He Gives Names to All the Stars. It's from Psalm 147. And it relates to what we've been looking at in the book of Colossians, the glories of Jesus Christ as the creator of all things, and as we're going to see today, the sustainer of all things as well. And as part of that, we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, just for a moment. That's no problem. Now, please disregard the man running across the stage. Just remember, okay, this is all my fault. And these guys are heroic in what they do to make, even when I mess up in a big way, to get this all worked out. So, in any event, turn to your Bibles now. Oh, look at that. Yeah. Yeah. Now you can see the map of Mauritania on the northwestern side of Africa. And that's a person in Mauritania praying, a Christian. All right. Colossians 1:16. All right, here I go. Tremendous sigh of relief. They fixed my problem. I won't mention it anymore. All right. Colossians 1:16. I'm going to get started this morning. For by him, by Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. The for him part means that the purpose of all creation is to glorify Christ. That regardless of the fall of man and the what came with it, the fall of all creation, God had a plan for restoring it all and making it even more glorious than before through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that one man on the cross, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And so even though now we don't see it as being brought all back together yet, we will. And the fact of the matter is that it's already started, as we're going to see. And the starting point is the church. It's the first place where there will be redemption and where the new creation is coming onto earth through the body of Christ. We are the fullness of Christ in this world. In any event, it's going forward towards a point where all creation will be revealed to have been for the person of Jesus Christ. After all, if you go back to the book of Genesis, who was all creation created for originally? Adam and the woman, right? I mean, in terms of what we had revealed to us. In other words, man, you know? And so when it fell, God became man. And now all of creation, the new creation, will be for him. All right? So that's what Colossians 1:16 ends with. All things have been created through him. He's the creator. And for him. Well, today we're pretty much done with verse 16, so we're going to move on in just a minute to verses 17 and 18. But again, all things have been created by him. He's the creator through him and for him. And that's not the only place where we see that in the Bible. Please turn to John chapter 1, verse 3. This is John, how he starts the Gospel of John. In verse 3, he says the exact same thing that Paul wrote in Colossians 1. Verse 16, I'll give you a moment to get there. John 1, 3. All things have been created by Christ, through him and for him. And then we see the same thing in John 1, 3. All things came into being through Christ, and apart from Christ, nothing has come into being. Nothing came into being that has come into being. Apart from him, none of that. So in other words, he's the creator of all things. Everything came into being through him, as we've seen already, including the fallen angels and the demons. All of it created. The very wood and stone that the pagans used to carve their false idols, Christ created that wood and that stone. All of it. All right, let's move on now to Colossians 1:17 to 18. Colossians 1:17 to 18. And we continue reading and go back there. Yeah. Yes. You have a couple of options when we're in a book. You can either put the holy ribbon there, chapter 1 of Colossians, or you can put your finger there and go, because you know we're going back. We may go someplace for a little while, but we'll always go back today to Colossians 1. We're moving on, continuing in this section of Colossians that just declares the glories of Jesus Christ, and we see this in Colossians 1:17. He is before all things. I'm going to see what that means in just a minute. And in him, notice this, all things hold together. That's going to be where we spend some time this morning and what that means. What does it mean that in Christ all things hold together? And then he goes on, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the new creation as well. Why? Because he's the firstborn from the dead. Not only is he the firstborn over all creation to begin with, and now that creation fell, and there's the process of reconciling all things to the Father, it turns out that Jesus Christ is also first among all of the new creation in his resurrection, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He is before all things. Verse 17, what does that mean? It means this. It means that even before Christ created anything, he was. He is. We sing that song on Communion Sunday. He is. Well, we know that in the future he will always be, but the fact is, in the past, before there was a past, before time, he is. He's always existed. And he has always existed in the Godhead, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have existed together forever, in the past and in the future. Infinite past, infinite future. It's hard to even get your mind around that, but that's what the Bible teaches us. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's always existed. Before he created a thing, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was with the Father and the Spirit. By the way, if you ever run into anybody who says this, the Trinity is not in the Bible. Have you ever heard somebody say that or read it or anything? Well, that's some of the most ridiculous things. I mean, you know what? What they're saying basically is that if you can't find the word Trinity, it doesn't exist. Okay, fine. We'll throw out the word Trinity. But now let's find the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and see if they're in the Bible. And of course, they're all over the Bible together, especially obviously in the New Testament. One example of that is the very last verse, we don't go there, but of 2 Corinthians 13:14. I think that's the one. But anyway, it's towards the end. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you forever. There's one example of that. And there's so many more, even in the Old Testament, by the way. So in any event, the Trinity has always been, I'm not going to use that word, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always been and always will be. Let's go back to John, this time in chapter 17. to see what Jesus said about this. This is the night before he went to the cross. He's in the upper room with his disciples, the 12. He teaches the 12 about both what's about to happen, and he teaches what's going to happen when the church starts because of the Spirit coming down. But then in chapter 17, he just turns and he just looks at his Father in heaven. And all of chapter 17 is a great prayer. If you want to talk about the Lord's Prayer, I would suggest this. John chapter 17. Because he's praying to the Father directly. So anyway, in verse 5, we read what? Notice what we see there. Now, Father, Jesus is praying to his Father. Glorify me together with yourself, notice, with the glory which I had with you when? Before the world was. Before the world existed, before creation, Jesus Christ shared glory with his Father. And now he wants that to be revealed here on earth by means of his death and resurrection. Glorify me with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Just go forward to John 17, same chapter, verse 24. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, those are believers, that includes you and I, by the way, be, if you're a believer, by the way, I never take for granted that everybody that I preach to is a believer. So if I talk about believers and you haven't believed in Christ yet, just relax, all right? Understand what it is means to be a Christian and then hear the gospel and believe it. Do you know how simple it is to be born again and have eternal life and be with God forever? It's a gift, by the way. It's a gift that you just receive through faith. And you just hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins because you're a sinner like I am. And then he rose from the dead. And then you know he's God in the flesh. That's it. If you believe those three things, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he died for your sins, and he was rose from the dead 3 days later, and you believe that, welcome to the family. It's that simple. In any event, look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you've given me. For you loved me, there it is again, before the foundation of the world. Love is. What does that mean? Love existed before the foundation of the world because the Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world. So we discover here again that before the world began, before it began, God the Father also did this. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I've been saying in the last few weeks, especially in the Lord's Supper last Sunday, that we have no idea how precious the body of Christ is to the Father. But all we have to do actually is read and open our hearts to the things that are said about the church. By the way, especially in this letter, in the letter of Ephesians, if you have any questions about who you are in Christ, you can turn to the letter of Ephesians and understand that you're a member of the body, and the body is the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. And not only that, let's see what we see here in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Notice, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means what it says. It means that he already blessed us already. You know, people say, I want to do this so I'll get a blessing. Preposterous. Why? Because you don't have to work for something you already have, right? If you already own the property and then somebody comes along and says, you know, if you plant crops and grow them for 10 years, then I'll give you the property. Like, only a moron would agree to that deal. Why? Because you already own it. In fact, that's given the morons less credit than they deserve. I don't even know what it takes. If you own something, then you work for it. You know, come on. So that's the truth, though, about every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He, just like He freely gave us the gift of salvation, He freely chose to bless us, the body of Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. By the way, where is our life now? Hidden with God in Christ in that same place. Keep your eyes, therefore, on the things above where Christ is, not on the things of this earth. Why? Because our life is there in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the same place, the heavenly places in Christ. But notice verse 4. I want you to picture the Father blessing us with every spiritual blessing. Everything He could possibly give us, He's already given us. And notice what else. Verse 4. Just as He chose us in Christ, when? Before, there's that phrase again. Before the foundation of the world. Let that sink in. Ponder that. Ponder that. That we know we've been chosen and elected to privilege. We know that. But did you ever stop and think when He chose us? When did He choose us? Before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that I certainly wasn't around then. Job may have thought he was. We'll get to that. But before the foundation of the world, I wasn't created. The world wasn't created. The stars weren't created yet. At that time, if we could even call it a time, He not only blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, but He also chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That gives you an idea of how precious you are to the Father, that He thought about you before He created anything, because He knew. I don't know. Well, of course I know. He's omniscient. But it's amazing to realize that He knew all of human history before it even started, before anything was created. He knew that we would fall. He knew that He would have His Son glorified through the fall by reconciling all things to Himself through the blood of His cross. And He also knew that He would have the Jesus Christ, the head, would have a body called the church. And because of that precious relationship that we have with Christ, He wanted to bless every member of that body with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. All this before the foundation of the world. That ought to give you a restful contentment when you really think about that. We worry so much about the day in and day out, and am I pleasing God, and I just had a bad thought. And yeah, you did, and sin is horrible, but remember this, that you're a new creation in Christ. And the fact is that He blessed you and I with every spiritual blessing before the foundation of the world. He chose us to be in Christ before the foundation of the world. So when you think about all those things about you that were settled before God created everything, man, I don't know about you, but that's a secure foundation in Christ. And I realize that everything else that I worry about, that changes, that causes me heartache or guilt or fear, is nothing compared to what He did for you and I in eternity past. Amazing. So that's what He did. He chose us before the world began. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And He chose us, and I want you to notice something else. He chose us in Christ at that time, before the foundation also, for a purpose. Just like all of creation has a purpose, we as born-again believers have a purpose in the future. All right, what is it? That we would be holy and blameless before Him. So here we are, we're beholding Jesus Christ, seeing Him as the creator of all things, and then we have God's Word place us in the picture with Him. And we're told that he has designed a great purpose for us, and that is that we would be holy and blameless before Him. And by the way, that is not salvation. We're going to get into this when we get to Colossians 1:23. That's not salvation. That's something else, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In other words, He that who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is at work both to will and to do on our behalf, all right? There's something going on at work. It's called in Romans 8, transforming us into the image and likeness of His Son. That's something that's going on and will be completed in the future. And that's our purpose. Our purpose is to become in the image and likeness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. All right. Let's look again at Colossians 1, 17 to 18. Go back there from Ephesians. And we'll continue looking at this amazing passage. This is who Jesus Christ is. This is who the person who died on the cross really is. Look at Colossians 1, 17 to 18. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. By the way, that's different than creation. That's something ongoing. We're going to see this. He holds all things together. And then notice, right after that, he's the head of the body of the church. There it is, you know, the picture of Christ, the Creator holding all things together, and then side by side is the body of Christ, the fullness of Christ in this world. That's how precious you and I are to the Father. And He, Christ, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's how the Father's going to bring about reconciling all things through Himself, through the death and resurrection of Christ, so that He, Christ, will come to have first place in everything. Not only was the universe created through the Son, and by the Son, and for the Son as the very goal of creation, it's also established in Him permanently, alone. That means that in Him, all things hold together. What does that mean? It means that not only is Christ the creator of the universe, not only is it the purpose all for Him, but there's something that happens in between, and that's holding it all together. He is the sustainer of the entire universe. You know, people marvel at Galileo and Newton for discovering gravity. Well, they just discovered something that Christ put into motion, all right, and sustains. Believe me, if Christ weren't moment by moment sustaining gravity, this whole universe would fly apart. Because so much of it depends on gravity. You and I staying on this earth depends on gravity. The moon going around the earth depends on gravity. The earth going around the sun and so forth. We're going to see something about the stars if we get that far. That's just brilliant. And we're going to see why. Because it's God revealing things that were unknown to the scientists for a long, long time. In other words, apart from Christ's continuous activity. So in other words, He created once, right? But He has continuous activity. And He's holding the world together, the universe, and it would disintegrate in an instant if He stopped doing that. Even when He was on the cross, He continued to do that. Imagine that. When He was on the cross, remember that great eclipse? Guess who did it? God the Son did it. I mean, think about it. God the Son created the wood that they put Him on. I mean, you think of everything, but here, His activity, moment by moment, if that weren't there, the universe would disintegrate in an instant. So here we have it. Christ existed before anything was created. Eternity past. Then He created everything. Everything in the heavens and everything on the earth. And from that moment on, He has been holding everything together. The planets, the seas, the sun, the seasons. The stars, you can't see them. Oh yeah, can you see the stars? All right, good. All of that. Not only did He create it, He's holding it all together. Oh, you guys are the best. Yeah, see, there's the principle, right? When's the only time you can see the stars? At night. Turn off the lights. Brilliant. What was that? All right, so, but not only that, this is really fascinating to think about. I'm a scientist. I guess you always are. He upholds the laws of physics, all of them. Things that the scientists didn't discover till the 20th century, like Einstein, relativity, E equals mc squared. He established that when He created the universe. All the laws of chemistry, He upholds all of that. All the laws of biology, He upholds all of that. He's laughing at people that are trying to erase Him from the biological world that we see here. The animals, the plants, us. Why? Because He sustains all of that. You know, if He wanted to like play a joke on the evolutionary people, He could just remove the laws of biology for a day. Although we'd all be dead. So maybe that's not such a good idea. But He does. He upholds all those laws. Imagine that. I mean, think about it. Today is a day for thinking about things. He upholds gravity. He maintains it instant by instant. Not only that, but at the smallest level of creation, he actually sustains forces that hold the atoms together. A little picture of that. You didn't know we were going to have chemistry class today. Well, you know, I mean, this is the atom, you know, and you have in the middle, you have the nucleus. You guys remember this? Anybody? Yeah. And the nucleus has protons that are positively charged and neutrons that are no charge. I like no charge. And then electrons that are negatively charged. All right. And the way it works is, well, negatives like positives, right? They love positives, right? So that's how that works. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing. Well, no, this is just showing that there's a force. This is what I'm trying to get. There's a force that keeps the electrons going around the neutrons. And this is not gravity. It's electromagnetic. In other words, the attraction between an electron and the neutron, and the protons, that attraction, electromagnetic force. It's like when you put two ends of a magnet together, you know, if they're positive, negative. Now, what happens if they're both positive? They repel, right? So I got a question for you. I don't know why I'm teaching physics today. You got all those protons sitting there in the nucleus. They're all what charge? Positive. They're all positive. What's supposed to happen when you bring positives together? Isn't that interesting? So God probably, after he invented the force of electromagnetism, he says, you know what? We're going to need another force. Otherwise, the protons are going to go all over the place. Well, he invented one, and I am teaching physics today. It's called the strong nuclear force, but you didn't know that was there. Just think about it. If you get all these positives together, how do they stay together? Well, God put in a force called the strong nuclear force that holds all the protons together so that nucleus stays together. So the atoms can spin around it and the chemists can put up their periodic table and everything works. Who did that? God did that. You know, it's interesting that people in evolution think, you know, well, now there was all this chemical material, and then it finally got together and some kind of place where it got zapped, and then life started, you know. I got a question for those people, though. Where did all the stuff come from? And not only that, but how did nothing figure that out? Figure out that we were going to have protons and neutrons and that there had to be a strong force to keep them all together? I mean, the more you learn about science, the more you have to say, my gosh, there's got to be a God who put this all together. All right. Not only that, but upholds it all. The scientists have never upheld any of those forces. They just discovered them. But Christ upholds them all, even from the biggest gravitational pull throughout the universe to the smallest, the atom. God, the Son, keeps all of that together. Not only that, but the very bonds that allow molecules to form. He also maintains the ability for hydrogen and oxygen to combine to produce water. But not only that, he figured out how to freeze water. And yet, the ice is the solid, and water is the liquid, right? You follow me on that? Right? Isn't that true? Solid, liquid. Well, usually, you know, the solid form of a substance is more dense than the liquid form. The one exception to that is water. And that's really good, because that's why when you have a drink, the icicles go up to the top. I mean, the ice cubes go to the top. Yeah, God did that. Not only that, but really big thing he did was when it freezes a lake, okay, he's going to keep the ice on top. That way when the spring comes and the sun comes out, that would melt first. If it was down the bottom, it would never get the heat that it needed to melt. God did that. Christ did that. He keeps our heart pumping until the day he decides to take us home to heaven. He upholds the process of evaporation. He regulates the temperature of the earth. Take that, Al Gore. And he keeps our body at 98.6. Think about it. Our body temperature is consistent unless we're sick, right? 98.6. I mean, think about that. Who keeps that going? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's amazing. I'd like you to turn. It's time to celebrate and praise our Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, I'd like you now to turn to the book of Psalms 147. Psalms 147. Wow. All the things he has done. Psalm 147. The moon, the stars, gravity, keeping atoms together, creating water, all of that, all those things. He's done it all. He sustains it all. You know, it's one thing to, like, create a computer, right? You put it all together. It's another thing to keep that thing running, like, for more than a week these days. I don't know what's going on, right? But imagine sustaining a computer for 1,000 years. You know, in other words, sustaining is harder sometimes than creating, if you can think about it that way, right? I mean, babies get created in 9 months and out they come. But then you have to raise them for 18 years. That's the hard part. It's easy for me to say I'm not a woman, but that's the hard part, is maintaining who's been created. That's what Christ does every day of our lives. Look at Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, and he gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, and he gives names to all of them. He's already named all the stars. Why? It's blasphemous, for example, what they do with the signs of the zodiac, because he's already given those stars names, and that wasn't it. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. That's the biggest scale of all, the universe. He understands it all. And yet, the Lord supports the afflicted. He comes down to his fallen creatures on earth. And he has empathy, supports them. He brings the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre, who covers the heavens with clouds. You look up and see those cloud formations. Who do you think put them there? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who provides rain for the earth. He makes the grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens which cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. That's the militaries that man tries to put together. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. Who are we without him? The Lord favors those who fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness, his grace. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your sons with you. He makes peace in your borders. And he satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. If we have a great wheat crop in the United States, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. He sends forth his command to the earth, and his word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? And then he sends forth his word and melts them. He causes the wind to blow and the waters to flow. He declares his words to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. And as for his ordinances, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. By the way, another miracle that the Lord is still sustaining are the Jewish people. You think about it. All that they've been through, and they're still a people, a body. And by the way, you might wonder why all this focus on Jerusalem and Zion. Well, the answer is that the earth once again is going to be seen in its fullness, not fallen anymore, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And when he comes back, he's going to gather all of the remnant of Israel together and bring them in to this kingdom where creation has been restored. So it really is for them, along with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish people are his earthly people, and the church is his heavenly people. All right, so Christ is in total control of everything, including, remember that we saw those elementary principles of the world and how that was such a big concern for the saints at Colossae. Well, realize this, that he is totally in control of the elementary principles of the world, including, by the way, the elements, as we've seen today. So, and by the way, he demonstrated that when he was here. One time, many of you know this, but he and his disciples were on a boat in the middle of Lake Galilee, and a tremendous storm rose up. And they all thought they were going to die, and they looked for Jesus, because they knew he was the Son of God, and he was asleep. And they woke him up, and he said, "Hey, I'm on the boat. It's not going to sink." But he said, "All right, I'm going to show you something." And he speaks to the winds, and he speaks to the sea, and he says, "You will be calm now." And they were calm. He's in total control of everything. All the elementary principles of the world. There were wind gods and sea gods, but they had absolutely no power over the wind and the sea. But Jesus Christ does. Even the winds and the sea obey him. When you get a chance, I'd like you to read Job chapters 38 and 39. It tells you all about the deeds of our all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal Lord, by whom all things were created, and by whom all things hold together. I just want to give you a sampling of this today. So yes, turn to Job 38. Turn to Job 38, where we'll get a sample of this today. All of this is just celebration of Christ as the creator and sustainer of all things. Now Job, if you remember, had tremendous tragedies. They're all described in the first two chapters. And then the rest of the book, really, is Job coming to grips with why it happened, or trying to, and really questioning the Lord an awful lot. But then in chapter 38, the Lord turns the tables and says, "Now you know what, Job? I've listened to you for 35 chapters. And now it's my turn." So he comes in a whirlwind, a great tornado, and that gets your attention. And then he turns the tables and starts to ask Job questions that he can't answer for the life of him. And he starts to realize how great and awesome the Lord is. Look at Job 38, verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And he said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" I like to put that in front of every university in the United States of America. "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird your loins up like a man." Be a man, Moses, listen to me. "Job, and I will ask you, and you will instruct me." In other words, Job's been asking, "I want to know this, I want to know that." And God says, "You want to know that? Fine." He says, "You want the truth? You can't handle the truth." So he says, "I'll ask the questions now, Professor Job, and I want you to be the instructor." Here's the first one. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Remember how before the foundation of the earth, Christ is, before the foundation of the earth, he had glory with the Father. Before the foundation of the earth, he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Before the foundation of the earth, he chose us in Christ, that we would be holy and blameless before him. And the Lord simply turns to Job and says, "When I did all that, where were you? I don't remember you there," in other words. "Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors? Job, have you ever in your life commanded the morning?" You ever think about that? Every day, you know, the sun comes up. Not only does it do that, but it's so regular that I can Google and say, "What time is sunset today in South Florida?" And I get the exact minute. The scientists didn't do that. Christ did that. He says, "Have you ever in your life commanded the morning? Have you ever caused the dawn to know its place? Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? And oh, by the way, where is the way to the dwelling of light? That's another one. Where did light come from? Well, we know, right? God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. Can you bind, this is amazing. I hope, yeah, I think we've got time. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? That's a constellation of stars. You can look at it. It's one of the brightest. Can you bind the chains, though, of the Pleiades? That's one thing. Bind the Pleiades together or loose the cords of Orion. Okay, we're going to see the amazing facts about these two constellations to line up exactly what the Lord said to Job over 4,000 years ago. When telescopes powerful enough to see this wouldn't have come into play until 4,000 years later in the 1700s. Can you lead forth this constellation in its season and guide the bear? That's another constellation. You might know the call Ursa Major. Those of you maybe know that phrase. Or how about the Big Dipper? Yeah, the Big Dipper is part of this constellation of the Great Bear. Do you know the ordinances of the heavens and fix their rule over the earth? Now, you remember how in Psalm 147, it says the Lord gave names to all the stars? Remember that? That's the title of the message today. Well, here are the names. These are the names the Lord gave to certain constellations of stars. Now, yes, technically they were in the Hebrew, okay? But, you know, we're going to talk about the names now. But God gave him the names, the Pleiades, Orion, and the Great Bear, Ursa Major. By the way, this is why I sent my son home, and he did that great job of hurrying home and figuring out Dropbox and getting my file today. I wanted to show you this. Yeah, that's the Pleiades. See them all? Those are all there. Yeah. We're going to see more about that in a minute. That's Orion. All right? That's the Big Bear. Can you see the kind of highlighted the bear there? It's not exactly, you know, I've never seen a bear look exactly like that, but you get the idea. It's more like a spaceship in Star Wars now, but in any event, the bear. But of course, there's, can you see that? See that? Lights, camera, action. There you go. But of course, there's some other people who tried to name stars themselves. And this is the zodiac. Astrology and horoscopes have given names of their own, not realizing perhaps that the Lord already named them. Right? Can you imagine that? Imagine that you're like on the Ponderosa where it was, and you named your great potty of land, you know, Bonanza. And then somebody else comes along and says, nah, let's call it Minnesota, you know. No, I named it. It's my land. The Lord named the stars. He doesn't like the fact that somebody else tried to rename them and then come up with this whole astrology where they want to say the stars have more of an influence on your life than the Lord Jesus Christ does. In any event, oh, by the way, a multinational corporation tried to do the same thing. Can you read that? Google, yeah. So any event. Yeah. But here's something real interesting about these guys. Here's what's real interesting. None of the constellations to which the Lord gave names in the Bible are signs in the zodiac. It's interesting. He didn't name any of those in the Bible. He named them all, but the ones he revealed in the Bible were not those. It's almost as if the Lord was saying, you know what? Here's a picture of that. See, he named that one Orion. He named the Great Bear. Okay, but he didn't name any of the signs. He did name the signs of the zodiac, but he didn't reveal their names. It's like the Lord is saying, don't you dare change the names of any constellation that I gave names to in my word. Your disobedience can go this far and no farther. By the way, while we're here, I want to give you an amazing scientific accuracy in the Bible. Now, again, the book of Job is the oldest book of the Bible. It tells the story, as we've seen, about a man named Job who lived at about the same time as Abraham. That's about 4,000 years ago. You know, 2,000 years since Christ, and 2,000 years you go back to Abraham. So it's 4,000 years. And most of the book of Job, as we've seen, is Job questioning the Lord's fairness in light of the tragedies, losing his family, losing his wealth. And as I mentioned already, beginning in chapter 38, the Lord turns the tables and asks Job questions. And again, he did this by asking a series of questions that Job could not possibly answer. But at the same time, this is the cool part, he also lets Job in on some inside information that nobody else knew at the time, and no one would really discover for 4,000 years after that. Scientists would not discover this inside information till thousands of years after the Lord revealed it to Job. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until 1718 that a fellow by the name of Edward Halley, that's the right pronunciation, you may know it as Halley. Halley's Comet, you know, that was discovered in 1718 when he discovered that that there was a proper motion that the stars had. You look up them at night, they look that they don't move at all, right? But he discovered that there's a proper, you know, definable, calculatable motion. He only could do that because he had powerful telescopes. But notice what we have in chapter 38, verse 31. He asked Job, "Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion?" Well, astronomers know today that the Pleiades is what's called a gravitationally bound star cluster. In other words, they're all close enough that their mutual gravity keeps it together. Okay, that's what it means by gravitational bond. In other words, they're in chains that are being binded, and that's gravity that's doing it. All the stars of the Pleiades are moving in the same direction at the same speed. All of them. So they're bound together. And that's what the Lord told Job 4,000 years ago. Wouldn't be discovered until the 1700s. Okay? There they are again. Those are the Pleiades. They're bound together by gravitational force. They're like a swarm of birds that are all journeying together in space, bound to one another, just like the Lord said they were. On the other hand, we also have him mention what? Orion in the second part of verse 31. On the other hand, Orion's stars are not that. They're not gravitationally bound. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because the Lord says, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades like I did? And can you loosen the cords of Orion like I did? Okay? Gravitationally bound Pleiades, not gravitationally bound Orion. And I want to show you something else. You know, the two stars, I mean, all of the stars of Orion are moving away from each other, imperceptibly to the human eye or even human time frame, but they are. They're moving apart. They're moving away from each other. In particular, there are three stars called Orion's Belt. Orion's Belt. Now, I don't know about you, but over the course of time, I've had to loosen my belt. You know what I mean? Same thing is happening to Orion. His belt is being loosened. The stars are moving away from one another. And I want to show you a picture of that. See? There you go. That's Orion, like we saw earlier. But can you see at his waist, there are three stars? I highlighted them in yellow. And those three stars now are in a straight line, and they're about equally separated from one another. Can you see that? All right. And there they are closer up. Same thing. They're all in a line. They're all really close to one another, pretty close to one another. Well, here's the deal. What's going to happen? The two on the right will approach each other. That's their motion. They're going to come closer, while the one on the left is going to drift away. So in other words, what's a belt now is just going to be a point someday. And you understand that? The belt is going to rip apart, sort of like cords that are ripped apart. And the Lord told Job this 4,000 years before the scientists would discover it. It's amazing. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed by that. We have an amazing God. It's indescribable, all the things that he has done. Orion's cords will be loosened, just as the Lord told Job. And these things will not be discovered for thousands of years after astronomers had the ability with their powerful telescopes to document these things. So think about it. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation reveals the majesty of the Lord. All the colors in the fall. Oh, wait, this is Florida. And the fragrance of spring. Every creature unique. Unique song. It's indescribable. The Lord placed the stars in the sky, and he named every one of them. He's an amazing God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again today for the majesty of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, and for how you've revealed these things in your word that are just mind-boggling. And you've given that all to your people who take the time to read your book and to be amazed by the things in it that all point to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to allow these facts to change our hearts, to deepen our understanding, deepen our love for you and your Son. And help us to be bold in standing up for your word, standing up for who you are, standing up for your Son, preaching his marvels to all that we come in contact with. We ask all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Just by way of reminder, Thursday at 7, we will have Skype running for our informal Bible study this Thursday at 7. And we are also just thankful for the fact that we have most of the things back, and we should be probably having it all together pretty soon. So thank you for that. With that, you're dismissed. Enjoy this day today.